Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is installation in WebSphere application server. My name is Joseph Lam, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2. In today's webcast, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to installation in WebSphere application server. Next, our panel of experts will answer questions that were pre-submitted to us through email. Then, we will open the lines for live Q&A period. And finally, the webcast will end with a summary of today's session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like to introduce our panel of experts for today's call. Our panel consists of Preston Law, WebSphere Application Server, Level 2 Support.
Thank you, Joseph. This is Preston Law. I've been in WebSphere Level 2 Support for the application server product for about 5 years. I'm currently the team lead for the WAS-ADM team that deals with installation, deployment, admin console, application management, and scripting issues, where I'm also the scripting subject matter expert.
Thank you, Preston. Next, we have Joe Mertzloff, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Thank you, Joseph. I am Joe Mertzloff. I've been with WebSphere Application Server Support for about 8 years now, and for about 6 years, I've been serving in the role of subject matter expert for installation. Thanks again, Joseph.
Thank you, Joe. Then we have Fishpal Shergill, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Thanks, Joseph. Welcome, everyone. I'm Vishav with IBM WebSphere Level 2 Support for the last 5 years. I've worked on various app server components like system management, install, security, migration, SDK, profile creation. I'm currently subject matter expert on installation component. Thank you, Joseph.
Thank you, Vish. Next, we have Mike Hill, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Thanks, Joseph. All right, this is Michael Hill. I want to welcome everybody to today's call. I've been with WebSphere Level 2 Support, as the rest of these gentlemen, for the past 8 years, and I hope we have some good questions today. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. And finally, we have Gary Fasick, WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support.
Hello, everyone. My name is Gary Vasek. I'm fairly new to WebSphere Application Server Level 2 Support. I've been in this role for just over a year. But I've been with IBM for 20-plus years, product development, install development, build and packaging, and also in product globalization and translation.
Thank you, Gary. Now, before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, and please go ahead, Vish.
Thank you, Joseph. Welcome, everyone, to Ask the Expert session on installation in WebSphere Application Server. Today's Ask the Expert session will cover installation and update of WebSphere Application Server V7 and V8 on distributed operating systems. Install and update of offerings shipped on supplemental media, for example, IBM HTTP Server, plugins, feature pack, etc. We'll also cover issues related to update installer, questions related to installation manager, and repositories used in version 8 and also in V7 feature packs. Let's move to slide 5, please. As mentioned during our introduction, today's panel of experts are from WebSphere Application Server team, so topics such as installation and update of stack products like Process Server, Portal Server, or Commerce are outside the scope of today's session. At this point, I'll pass the presentation to the next panelist, Preston, who will be answering question number 1 from pre-submitted questions. Please move to slide 6.
Thank you, Vish. Question number one that was pre-submitted is, I have installed a feature pack on WebSphere Application Server version 8. What additional steps are required for my profile to use this? You can move on to slide 7. So basically, feature packs need to be augmented to the profile. With the exception of Web 2.0 feature pack, these augmentations can occur on profiles with the different types of deployment manager, management profile, with the server type of admin agent, the default profile, custom profile, and the cell profile. On to slide 8. Basically, if you don't know how your server was initially installed, you may not know what type of profile you currently have. So the way to find this out, in the WAS Home Properties folder, there's a file called profileregistry.xml. You want to open that up in an editor, or you want to just view the file, and basically you're looking for the line that starts with template equals. This provides you with the type of profile that you're running. In this example here, you can see that it, at the end of the line, it says cell/DMGR. So this is actually the DMGR profile template. And you would want to first start by augmenting your deployment manager profile. And the command for that would be manageprofiles.bat, and you specify the option -augment, and the profile name, which would be your deployment manager name. The template path would then be listed next, and that would be for your particular feature pack. So that's going to be under profile templates and then your feature pack name, and then you want to provide the same profile template. In this case, it would be for DMGR. On to slide 9. Basically, during the augmentation, it's logging to this augment log, which you can find in the WAS Home logs directory under Manage Profiles, where all these different Manage Profile commands are logging to, and the file name is going to have augment in it. If you're augmenting to the custom profile, you want to make sure that everything's restarted, all the app servers, in order for them to take advantage of this augmentation. If you're going to do, let's see, a new profile after the fact, you want to do the same exact thing, but instead of specifying -augment for a profile that already exists, you can simply use manageprofiles-create and specify the profile name with the profile name that you choose and the template path. And in this case, you would want to create probably a custom profile, or maybe for the administrative agent, or a cell profile, something like that effect. But you would basically select under the profile templates the feature pack that you're using, and then the actual feature pack for the profile template that you'd like to choose. So that's basically the augmentation. If you have further questions at the end of these pre-submitted questions, you may ask more details about that. So on to slide 10, Joseph, please.
Hello, this is Gary, and I will be answering question 2. And question 2 is, can WebSphere Application Server version 8 be installed without Installation Manager? And once installed, can I use Update Installer to apply a fix pack? So, Joseph, if you can move to slide 11, please. Starting with version 8, Installation Manager is the only way to install WAS, including interim fixes, fix packs, feature packs. No longer using Update Installer for version 8. And one thing you need to keep in mind is that the Installation Manager itself is very important. It needs to stay on the system for the life of the version 8 installation. You can actually cannot uninstall Installation Manager without first uninstalling the product and any fixes and feature packs that were installed. So just think about it as being part of the product, of the WebSphere application server product. So that's the answer for question 2. Move to Vish for question 3.
Thank you, Gary. This is Vish again, and I'll handle question number 3. The question is, my production system cannot access IBM.com. How can I update my repositories in Installation Manager? Do I need to copy the repositories across all servers? Let's move to slide 13, please. If no internet access is available for your production system, then the local download of offerings is available on Passport Advantage. There can be multiple zip files for the same offering. Please extract all zip files which belong to the same offering to the same directory. Now, you can even use the IBM packaging utility on any system which has an internet to connect to IBM.com and obtain repositories, which you can then transfer to your enterprise repository server. Installation Manager can then retrieve the repositories hosted on that server. IBM Packaging Utility is a packaging tool that creates and manages software package repositories in the correct format for IBM Installation Manager. You can use IBM Packaging Utility to move packages between or delete packages from repositories. It can create new repositories containing one or more offerings. For example, WebShare Application Server, IBM HTTP Server, plugin installation media can be combined into a single repository. With packaging utility, you can create your own customized set of repositories, which are called enterprise repositories. It's also possible to host these enterprise repositories within your own organization using a web or FTP server. Local repositories downloaded from IBM, which are split into multiple disks, cannot be served from an HTTP or FTP server. But when combined using IBM packaging utility, they can be served from a web server or an FTP server within the organization. Please move to slide 40. You could also choose to use Network File System to host the repositories. This idea is actually more similar to the idea of using a local repository, except Installation Manager reads a repository from a remote file system instead of a local file system. But in this case, each individual repository needs to be specified in Installation Manager's repository list. This is a bit different than Web Repository, where you could potentially specify just a single URL to access a number of packages hosted on a server. If you choose to combine multiple repositories using packaging utility, then it becomes easier to manage them using Installation Manager because fewer repositories need to be added to your Installation Manager preferences. For more details, please review the webcast Managing Repositories for Installation of WebShare Application Server, VA, and the links provided on the slide. If you have any further questions, we can take it after we are done with the pre-submitted questions. At this point, I'll pass the presentation to the next panelist, Mike Hill, for question 4, slide 15, please.
Thank you, Vish. Question 4, can I install WebSphere Application Server, VA, remotely? Slide 16, please, Joseph. Remote installation is allowed using the flexible management functionality of the WebSphere 8. The remote installation can be performed either using a job manager console or using the jobs panel that you would find within the deployment manager console. Remote installations do require that an SSH daemon, which would be supporting our RXA, the remote execution and access, to be running on the remote machine itself. Slide 17 for the next question, please, Joseph.
Thank you, Joseph. This is Joe Martzloff once again. I'll answer our final pre-submitted question. I used to install silently using Update Installer in WebSphere Application Server version 7. Can I install silently using Installation Manager in version 8? Please move to slide 19. As Gary mentioned during the answer to question 2, WebSphere Application Server version 8 uses Installation Manager for installing the product as well as applying updates to the product. Update Installer has been phased out for version 8, but the capabilities which were available in Update Installer, including silent installation, are again available in Installation Manager. There are two options available for installing and updating version 8 in silent mode using Installation Manager. One option is to use a command line mode using a utility called IMCL. It's similar to Update Installer, this command line mode accepts a series of parameters which allow you to choose which product packages or fixed packs to install and which existing product or new directory you want to install it to. Please move to slide 20. Another option for handling silent installations is to use a response file. Again, this is a similar concept to using a response file with Update Installer, but the response file format is different here. Installation Manager response files are formatted in XML and allow you to choose packages you want to install as well as choose where to install them. The WebSphere Application Server version 8 Info Center has sample response files for installing the product and updating the product with fixed packs, and my recommendation is to review those response files to learn how they're structured. You can also craft your own response files. It's possible to run Installation Manager in a skip install and record mode, which lets you simulate an installation and record your actions into a response file, which you can then use later to perform real installations silently. We can now move to slide 21.
Thank you to our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. At this point in time, Jackie, we would like to open the lines for live Q&A period.
Himanshu Pandit, your line is open.
It appears that WAS 7 update installer and installing using script silent install has worked pretty good so far. Maybe know the reason why IBM is proposing with WebSphere 8 this way of installation. Is there a bigger rationale behind this? Thank you.
Thank you. So the question is, basically you're wondering why IBM chose not to pursue the update installer from this point forward and to start utilizing the installation manager.
Correct.
Joe or Vish, would you like to answer that one?
I think I can jump in for this question. I think the most concise answer that I can give is because as we got more feature requests during version 6.1 and version 7, we found requests for things like being able to pull from remote installation repositories or concepts like that. And what we were finding is the update installer framework and what we had formerly called our new installation framework was beginning to show its age. It was something where we were finding it would be significantly limited in our ability to introduce new features. Part of the truth behind this is we relied on a third-party API to drive our installer, Install Shield, which some folks may be familiar with. And unfortunately, we were finding we were not able to take that framework in the direction that we wanted to go. Installation Manager was something that had been used to some degree of success with the IBM Rational products, and they actually had been in the midst of implementing some of the features that we were looking towards. So that is what pushed us in the direction of switching over to Installation Manager in version 8. For those of you familiar with version 7 feature packs, we made the tough decision to go with Installation Manager early. We originally targeted it for version 8, but implemented it in version 7 when we saw we had the chance to do that for the feature packs.
Thank you, Joe. So I think we can move on to the next question.
Our next question comes from Ryan Oler. Your line is open.
Hi, everybody. I'm from Black Hills Corporation, and one of our systems is running WAS 6.1, and this isn't really related to the 8.0 discussion, but we found out recently that you are going to be out of support at the end of September. And we don't usually have very many issues with WAS, so we don't call in a lot about it. But I was wondering what kind of support there will be beyond that point. Is this the end-all, beat-all drop-off date, or is it is there going to be more ability to ask questions about it if we still have issues? We do plan to upgrade to 7.0 or 7.1 soon, but it's just a concern we have.
Thank you. So your concern is with 6.1 ending support in September. That's sort of off topic for the installation, but it's sort of on topic since you're concerned with moving toward a new version. So I will answer that question briefly. Basically, customers are recommended to sign extended support contracts. Without an extended support contract, then you will be basically out of support, and you would not be able to use WebSphere's support and IBM's support to gain support for that product if you did have issues and questions. Definitely in a production environment, if you're running previous version that's recently dropped off the supported contract, then definitely recommend that you would call in and get an extended support contract. If you did fall upon a problem later on, then at that point, if you had something in production and really needed assistance from us, generally we can usually get a contract pretty quickly. The basic way to do that is to contact your IBM rep, and they can guide you to the pricing and sort of contract details in that regard. So I hope that answers your question.
Thank you, it does.
Our next question comes from Fasil Othman. Your line is open.
Yeah, my question was along the same lines. We are currently on version 6.1, and we are planning to upgrade. I wanted to see if we could upgrade directly to version 8, or do we have to do a stepwise upgrade to version 7 and then move on to version 8?
Thank you. So your concern is with how you would upgrade from 6.1 to directly to 8?
Correct.
And, Vish, I believe that you may be able to answer that one pretty well.
Yeah, hi. You can directly upgrade from 6.1 to V8 if you plan to use it. We do have migration tools that are available which you can use to migrate the old version to a new version.
Okay, that's good. So are they available on the website? Is there anything that I can search for?
I'll paste you a link on the comment. If you're on the comment chat, I'll paste a link there which gives you a presentation on migration and a link from Info Center which talks about migration.
Okay, sounds good.
Sure, and I think Gary may have a little to add to this as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to – so the process that the Vish will send you the instructions would be that you would install the version 8 product, and then after the installation you would follow the migration scenario.
Okay.
So it would allow you to migrate your profiles over to the new version.
Oh, okay.
So it wouldn't necessarily – when we do migrations, we never do in-place updates of the product. You will be installing a new set of binaries into a new location or, you know, making a backup of your profiles and putting the binaries over the existing place. But we don't update the files in place.
Okay.
Yeah, like Gary, like you actually have to install V8 and then from V8 use the migration tools to migrate version 6 to version 8.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, thank you. And we'll move on to the next question.
Our next question comes from Pripam Reddy. Your line is open.
Hello. Yeah. How do we set the permissions when we do the install on the Linux box or Unix box?
Sure. Thank you. That's a good question. You're wondering how permissions should be set during installation or prior to. And let me first ask you specifically, are you talking about installing under a specific user or group, or are you looking, and you're probably not looking to install as root in that case?
Yeah, the particular user and the group. How do we do that?
Okay. Thank you. And Mike, I think you can answer that one for him.
Well, you can, just to understand, to begin with, when you install your install manager itself, you need to choose whether you're going to install it as root or non-root. Once you have made that decision, then from there on forward, you will be installing all WebSphere as that ID, basically either as a root or a non-root. Then you can set up groups that can then have access and therefore be able to do updates and things of that nature. Let's say, for an example, if you had a remote install or anything, you can set up groups that can then access that remote installation to do further updates and things of that nature. Also, in the Info Center, under installing the product, if you go under, take for an example, like the Deployment Manager Distributed section, which you'll see on the left-hand side of the Info Center, if you drill down in there, it will explain about installing the product, as you'll need to do a preparing your OS and make sure that your OS is set up properly as well. I mean, once that's done, you'll just use the Install Manager and you'll be able to point to where you want to go and install the product.
Yeah, I have a doubt. When we do a root install and we have a group already in the OS, can we set up the group and the owner to while we do the install?
It will need to be set up before you do the installation.
Yes, before you, let's suppose we have a group already in the OS, then when we just install, do we need to have the, can we give the root and the group together while we do the install?
Well, the root will belong to that group, and so you won't be able to define anything during the actual install as far as groups or anything like that. The install manager takes the ID that was used to install the installation manager itself,
okay.
and that's the user and groups that it's going to use to install V8.
Okay, got you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Mike Windholtz. Your line is open.
Hi, I had a question about the Installation Manager repositories. I've installed WAS 8 silently and used the Installation Manager. I created my own response file with the skip install options. But I'm not. I need to understand more closely the difference between a local repository and a shared repository. And I also need to understand, in our environment here, we have, it's mainly a Linux Red Hat shop, we have different NIS domains. So we have like a dev, a cert, and a prod domain, and they're isolated. Does that mean I would need to have repositories in each of those NIS domains, or can I have one that's shared across all?
Thank you. So the question you're wondering about is basically the difference between local and shared repositories, and also with different domains, you're wondering how you should basically set up your repositories on those separate domains which are isolated. And I believe Vish can answer that pretty well for you.
Yeah, hi, thanks for the question. It's a good question. You can set up, like depending on your network, you can set up a centralized repository if all the domains can access it. You don't have to copy it everywhere. And now coming to your part of local and shared. Local means that it is local to that machine, right? That only the installation manager which is on that machine can access it. Or you can have a file system which you mount every time to each machine where you're running installation manager. So there is a utility that we have called packaging utility. With that, you can, in V8, you can merge the repositories together and create a single enterprise repository. That you can host in a file system, access it with FTP, or you can create a web server within your intranet and access the, and define it as a repository config in the, as a document root in your web server and access it from all the IAMs within your network.
Thanks, Vish. And I believe that he was concerned about his domains being isolated, meaning that they probably can't all reach the same shared repository. But so basically the option for that would be to copy the repositories across, correct?
Yeah, I mean, if the domain can't access a single place, then they have to be in all the three domains. But, you know, it totally depends on how the network is set up.
Right. Okay.
Did it answer your questions, or you had a further question on that?
I guess I have a question. You know, I went through the installation manager and I installed it locally on the box. So for this, like a shared repository, I then would not install installation manager on every WebSphere server?
Installation Manager will still be installed on each machine. But the repository will be shared. You'll keep the repository. Like Installation Manager will read the repository and install the product. The repository that you define under preferences or within the server tab of your response file, that will be remote. That will be shared across all the installation managers that you are using.
So there's really no, the only thing I really need to do is set up like an NFS location, and then that's where I'll put all of my packages and just point to there, and then that gives me the shared repository then.
Yes, yes. Your installation manager will read from your NFS, or you define a web server, whichever way you want to go, and installation manager will read from there and install locally. But the installation manager still has to be installed on every machine or every blade that you're trying to install on.
Okay. Thank you for answering my questions. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks.
Our next question comes from Ram Dwarsala. Your line is open.
Hey, good morning. This is similar to the migration question. Actually, we are planning to migrate from 6.1 to 8.10. The first thing that you already explained is using the migration tool. And also, we need to, the second one is completely build the old environment from scratch. It's like a brand new environment. So other than these two methods, is there any other type of process to migrate this from 6.1 to 8.0?
Sure. So your question is basically the migration from 6.1 to 8.0. You're looking to find out your different options, either building from scratch or how specifically to migrate. Was there something else there?
Exactly.
Okay. So Vish, I think you can answer that one.
Yeah, hi. So basically you have two options, like you said. Either you can build a version 8 environment from scratch, or like we talked in the answer that we gave earlier, that you install V8 and then you use the migration utilities to migrate the old environment to the new environment. I mean, officially, these are the only two ways where you can migrate V6 to V8.
All right. Thank you very much. Sorry.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Sandy Mokate. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. This is Sandy, and my question is really more of a generic nature in the sense that I'm looking for a documentation for this new way of installation versus the old. Is there any one single document where I can see how I used to do the things old way and now how it's changed to the new way? That way I don't have to go through the learning new process completely without having referencing back to the old one.
Thanks, Sandy. So you're looking for documentation on basically using the installation manager to install on version 8 and possibly getting one single document that clearly explains all the steps involved so that you can easily follow the new process without any issues.
Yeah, and possibly some notes saying that this is how you did it in 7 and this is you, this is the new way to do it. I mean, not every step, but at least you said, you know, response file has been changed. A lot of options are new and old. So, you know, there were quite a few in the old installation process itself. So.
Sure. Okay. Gary, I think that you may be able to answer that one for us.
Sure. I'll answer this one. So, the first place to start is in the Info Center on the install section. There's quite good information there about what steps to follow. And, you know, you could look at the version 7 Info Center and the version 8. And we also have some education roadmaps out available on the web that have presentations that go through some of the panels. So we'll, I think Vish is looking for those links, but I'll look for the links and post them on the common chat. But that's the best. I've seen customers who have, like, gone through it once and taken screenshots that they keep for themselves, but I'm not sure we have a complete set of screenshots for the whole process. But, you know, I think you'll find that once you've done the installation manager install once, it will be pretty intuitive. You know, the first time, of course, with learning anything new, it will be maybe a little overwhelming or a little different than you would expect, but it's pretty straightforward once you get used to it. And like I said, we'll look for some links and post them in the comment chat.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Gary, I'll just to add, I've already posted the Info Center link and the education roadmap that Gary mentioned in the comment chat.
Sure, thanks.
Thanks, Vish.
Yep.
Okay, we can move on to the next question.
Our next question comes from Kevin Dowdy. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. In our environment, we have a series of JSON scripts to do configuration post-installation to make the whole process pretty much silent or no input from the installer. This is in version 7 and version 6 as well. In version 8, are there changes significantly to how the installation is done where this method we're using now is not possible? Where you have sort of no user input for the installation, it's all done via JSON and in Windows it's batch scripts and in the Unix environment we use corn shell scripts.
So your question is, you're using JSON and some Windows batch scripts to perform your installs?
Install and post-configuration installation.
Post-configuration. So the post-configuration stuff, if you have scripts that basically do that kind of thing for you already, they should automatically work without issue in version 8 as well. So you may not have any issues there. For the installation, it is different, so you would have to rewrite your own scripts or batch scripts. If that's the way you provide or that's the way you prefer to do it, you would have to write that to do the silent install for Installation Manager. And that would sort of be something you'd have to work with in your own time on your own environment. It's not something that IBM is going to provide you, but you can certainly do that as long as you're following the new Installation Manager silent install method opposed to the update installer method of doing that.
Okay, but there is an IBM recommended method to do this kind of completely hands-off installation. Is it only recommended to use the response file method only, or is there another method?
Jason, I can add to it. You actually can use a command line option with IMCL in V8, where you really don't have to give the whole response file. You can give IMCL and specify the options that you want to choose, and that should work, and you can put that in a script.
Okay.
Now, in V8 world, you have to do the installation of Installation Manager, then the installation of V8, and then kick off the profile creation. So three-step, and this can be easily automated, because I believe profile creation right now, you must have created some batch file or some script, which is kicking off manage profile to create a profile, right?
Yeah.
So that pretty much will work. The only thing is, you can use IMCL command, and again, in the comment chat, I'll put the link to IMCL command and the different options it has. And I think one of the panelists, Joe, mentioned in answer to question 5, he gave an example of IMCL there, too.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Our next question is from Bob Heater. Your line is open.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. I actually have a few questions, so I'm not sure how to present all three of them. But currently I'm running WAS 7.0 with several fixed packs on top of that, and I use response files to install and configure my environment. I manage a lot of environments, and everything is scripted. So what I've done is instead of actually using actual Solaris server names, I put alias names in the host files, so when I install all of my environments, the application servers have an alias Apple One, the deployment manager has an alias DMGR, and when I install and configure WAS using my response files, I never use actual server names in any of the installation methods. This makes all of my environments, which is about 12 of them across development, testing and production environments, look all the same and allows developers to generate other tools that know what the expected name of servers are rather than going out and customizing everything for each specific environment which has different server names. Well, I'd like to first understand what you think of this technique, and will that still continue to work with version 8?
Sure. So you're specifying an alias and it's all programmatically set. Joe, can you add to that one for him?
I believe so. So if I understand correctly, we're using similar configurations spread across different environments. I mean, it sounds like we need to make sure that DNS resolution works, like the host names are sensible in that kind of environment. I'll ask this question. Is there anything like virtual host names being used here?
I'm not sure what you mean by virtual names, and we don't use DNS, but I'll give you another example. For example, the DMGR host name, which I put in all my host files, and I have that set equal to the IP address of the server where deployment manager is running on. I'm under the assumption that I can, if that server goes away, I can take that deployment manager profile, which I back up every day, restore it on another server, update all my host files, and restart, and magically the deployment manager will be located on another machine.
Yeah, if as long as all the various profiles refer to each other using host names.
Yes.
Yes, that should be fine because they're all going to respect what IP address is in that host file. So if you change, if the IP address changes, but you change the host file to match and all the other systems get that host file, like you propagate that out to all the systems,
yes,
then they should all be in sync. They actually probably would not realize anything has changed. It sounds like it's set up in a transparent way. And I think it should, I think this should work the same way in all of our current versions of WAS, actually.
I'm doing it in 7. I'm hoping to do it 8. May I ask my second question?
Sure.
Okay. Some of my environments are very secure and surrounded by firewalls, probably like everybody's environment should be. And as far as the repository is concerned, what I do is I use secure copy to copy components of the repository to each target server as I need them. And when I do my installs and my updates, I use the basic local repository technique. Now, that means that each of my servers must have adequate space or repository. And I'm considering a shared repository within each secure environment. Is it expected that the size of the repositories are going to increase significantly or anything that would drive me to going to a shared repository or anything like that?
It sounds like a shared repository might be the best solution for this kind of thing because, yes, I think you can expect the size of local repositories to keep on increasing. When it comes to using web repositories, which I can't quite fully explain now, but with Installation Manager, there's a concept of hosting a repository on the web, and there's a concept of downloading an entire repository locally. The local repositories, at least the way we've structured them for WebSphere, each subsequent fix pack contains all the information from all the previous fix packs. So our local repositories for fix packs are only going to get larger and larger over time. On the other hand, if you use a concept of sharing repositories and hosting them on a web server, IAM will only need to download a Delta fix pack for updating whatever products are on the local system. The reason this is significant is because IAM keeps a copy of a cache. It's what IAM calls the shared data. But that's essentially a cache of the packages that it's installed with the various products. And you'll find that if you use a web repository idea, the shared cache on the local machine only grows to accommodate the Delta update required for installing each fix pack, which is a lot smaller than having an entire fix pack local repository on every system. I'll also add this topic is something that Vish and I covered in a previous WSTE session. I don't have the link directly in front of me, but as soon as I do, or unless Vish gets to it faster than I do, we can paste that in the group chat that we have going on right now. And that presentation may give you some ideas of the possibilities of how you might be able to handle this in the long term.
Excellent. I have one final question.
All righty, let's go for it.
Okay, the application that we are using is limited to one cell and one cluster. It's not a multi-cell, multi-cluster application. We're at 15% scale, and over the next 3 to 5 years, we're going to scale up the other 85%, which means we have to scale out horizontally. We are planning on scaling out horizontally at the cell and cluster level geographically, meaning I'm planning on having a cell and cluster that appear in more than one data center. Between data centers, we have multiple redundant high availability VPNs. And I know there are concerns or potential issues with latency, and actually, I'd like to know if you have any comments or questions on us running a cell or a cluster with a single cluster that spans two data centers in two different states.
Sure. This one is actually a question that is not install related.
Okay.
It makes sense to get this answered via a PMR.
I did open a PMR.
Okay.
And the PMR says, yes, it is. But I just wanted to see if I didn't realize it was that far out of the context for this call.
Yeah, mainly this is like install migration, and this is really how things are configured across geographical locations. Basically, it would really come down to the details of the latency that you see in between. There should be no issues as long as you have that connection and it's working properly. Really, from it's more of a system management perspective, because the node agent pings the app servers, things like that. But and the node agent and the deployment manager is talking out to each node across the geography. But it's really outside of the scope of install. So
okay, I just thought it would, you know, being that's the install that I'm going to be doing. Okay, thank you very much, and keep up the good work, guys. Thank you very much for answering my questions.
I encourage you, if you have further questions, you said you had a PMR, please update the PMR, and we'll try to answer anything further for you if you have more questions regarding that. And we can move on to the next question.
Certainly. Our next question comes from Sanjoy Descudo. Your line is open.
My question is install related. So we are running a BPM servers on top of WAS 7.5.1. We will migrate to version 8 at some point. My question is, we have about 12 cells in our environment, so it makes it very difficult for us to push changes and coordinate these changes across all these cells. Like, you know, there might be some in development that has a different level of patching and so on and so forth. What was suggested to us was something called Rational Automation Framework from an installation perspective, maintenance, and all that sort of stuff. So what do you guys have to talk or have your stand on the Rational Automation Framework as it relates to installing and maintaining all these different levels across all these cells?
Yeah, hi, this is Rich. I think what you're doing with Rational Automation Framework, you're just pushing the automated updates to all the cells. Well, that works, and I've seen a lot of clients using it. But as far as we can only answer from standalone WebSphere perspective, because Rational Automation Framework, I think it creates an automation script and schedule jobs and stuff where you can push the update to all the servers where you have configured it, correct?
That is correct. So my question was more like, you know, is that an alternative to what you guys are suggesting?
Oh, what we say is, like, we normally talk about a single cell and single environment. Like, within WebSphere application server V8, you can use SIM, Centralized Installation Manager, from a job manager to push the changes to remote nodes or remote cells. Now, this is taking plain WebSphere application server in picture.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So in V7, also plain WebSphere, we have same feature, but that is only supported under the deployment manager and all the nodes that reside within that deployment manager.
Yeah. And my question was more about, like, from a manageability perspective. If, you know, there was another gentleman before who was saying that he's managing 12 cells. Wouldn't it make sense to, you know, use Rational Application Automation Framework to do the remote updates, manage all these installations instead of having to go into each individual cell across different geographic boundaries to do the install? So my question is, does it make sense, or is it an alternative mechanism that we should explore?
Yeah, it is definitely a good. It's an alternative that you can explore. It's a product which is supported by IBM, the Rational team. You know, it can be used. Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question is from Parthasarathy Raghavan. Your line is open.
Well, me and one of my colleagues too had the same question from our company. We have a bunch of applications in a mixed match version 6.1 and WAS 7.0. And if the path is to go to 8, is there like any migration scripts that we can run, or is there any other migration path that we have to go from a previous version of WAS to 8?
Sure. So your concern is with migrating from previous versions to version 8 and how to do that. I believe we've answered that a few times, but Vish, you might want to add some more insight to that, or maybe paste some migration links again.
Sure, Preston. To understand your question, like Preston repeated, you're asking how to migrate from V6 to V, or like V7 to V8, or you have some script in V7 which you want to make sure that they work in V8?
Not necessarily scripts. Like, we have applications which are running on V7. For installing V8, there is it's a straight install, but is there any script that we have that would bring all the applications over from V7 to V8?
Yes, we have migration tools. We normally, there's a graphical tool called Migration GUI, a graphical interface that you can use, or there are scripts called WAS pre-upgrade and post-upgrade. You can run them from WAS 8 and point to WAS 7, and they will migrate your configuration, and you have an option to choose if you want to install applications or not. Now, keep in mind, it will migrate as the V7 environment as it is to V8. Now, if the applications, I mean, make sure that your developers certify that the applications do work in V8 and you have tested them at one point in test environment or something.
Okay, I see.
Yes, but there is utility, like WAS, the command is WAS pre-upgrade to do the pre-upgrade, which pretty much does is creates the backup of the profile that you pointed to and copy it in a backup directory. The second script that you run is WAS post-upgrade, then you point to the backup directory and it copies the configuration, and if you choose to deploy application and other options that are there, it does that for you. And keep in mind, both these commands are run from V8, not from the old version.
And we can do the same thing even to point it to a profile in V6.1 also?
Yes, you can. You run it from V8, you can point it to, you can migrate 6.1 to V8 or 7.0 to V8, same process.
Right. And just so you're aware, that's the basic migration step, the pre-upgrade and post-upgrade for any migration from an older version. It's going to migrate all your configuration, like Vish said, but it's also gives you the option to include the application. So that's a part of the basic migration. That's the same steps everybody would go through.
Okay. So that would include all the other name resources that we create, such as JDBC connection that we configure. It would bring all those things as a migration in the pre- and post-migration scripts?
Yes, it will.
Okay. Thanks.
We'll move to the next question. Casey Viswatone, your line is open.
Using Installation Manager, can we record a custom WebSphere response file from command line without using the graphical interface?
So you're looking to record a custom response file from command line without using the graphical user interface. Vish, I believe you'd like to answer that.
Yeah, unfortunately, you have no way to record a response file without graphical interface. So basically, we, like one of the panelists, Joe, mentioned in his question, we do have sample response files in our info center. You can just have them, tweak them as per your environment and use those. or you can use INCL command line option, which doesn't use response file. You give all the options on a command interface and then do the installation.
Well, INCL command gives all the command line, basically all the options.
No, you have to specify options manually. You don't. It doesn't. The interactive mode of INCL is not supported with the CRD8 as of now.
Okay. And I have another question.
Sure.
Can we prepare a WebSphere custom package for Linux using the Windows packaging tool? Because if I install the custom packaging tool in Windows, it will be easy for me to build the packages when compared to Linux or some other operating system. Is it possible?
Mm-hmm. With custom packaging tool, I didn't understand. Are you talking about the profile, the packaging utility to create packages for the remote operating systems, or can you elaborate on the question, please?
I want to make a package of source code like WebSphere 8 and FixPack 2 and some other eFix into a custom package, and then whether it can be prepared on the Windows platform, and then I can install it on the Linux boxes or any other Unix flavor.
Okay, I can elaborate on that. There are two options. Thanks for clarifying the question. One is the V8 install image that you download will be the complete image. It will have Linux, Windows, all the distributed with 3264. Mm-hmm. So that single image you can host on Windows, Linux, any machine, and any remote operating system should be able to access it.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, with packaging utility 151, we do have a command line interface, we call it PUCL, where you can create operating system specific repositories. So basically you can run PUCL command, point it to your repository, and just pull the Windows part of it.
Okay, sorry, that's the question. When using the PUCL, can I use it in the Windows to make the custom specific, correct?
You can use it on Windows and create an AX specific, Solaris, Linux, any platform that you want, whatever options you specify.
It will not have the bit operation for 64-bit.
When you use PUCL, let's say on Windows you use PUCL to create Linux package. The Linux package will be 32 and 64-bit both.
Mm-hmm.
So you only choose operating system. Like, let's say you chose AIX. The AIX package that gets created will have 32 and 64-bit offerings both.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And like we mentioned before, it's on the common chat also. There's a WebSphere technical exchange we did specifically on handling repositories. And on that, myself and Joe, we covered a lot on PUCL, and we have samples and commands there. So if you get a chance to review that article too.
Okay. What are the two commands with PUCL?
It's a PUCL. Yeah, INCL is a command line interface for installation manager. PUCL.sh or PUCL.exe is command line interface and packaging utility.
Okay. Thank you so much. That's my question.
Our next question is from Vital Kalu. Your line is open.
Yeah, hi. This might be a basic question, but I just wanted to get clarified on this. So the question is like when we say the IM, right, so does it have the control on profiles too, or it has only control on the binaries?
Thank you. So your question is on profiles, is the installation manager tool used for that as well? Okay. Gary, I think you can answer that one.
Sure. So the installation manager is just used for laying down the binaries, and it would actually launch the profile management tool during the installation process, but you don't use IM installation manager for creating and managing the profiles. But that's separate. And there's also the custom WCT. I believe that is the front end for the profile management tool. So, and that does not require installation manager per se. I mean, you need installation manager to install it, but then once it's installed, you would launch it separately.
Okay, and whatever repositories that we're talking about only contains the binaries, right? I mean, not anything related to the profiles.
Right. Well, the profiles are generated by WebSphere, so you know you need to install first and then generate the profiles.
Oh, yeah, thanks.
This is Joe. I can also add, for those familiar with version 7 or prior to that, this answer for version 8 is a bit of a departure for what you might be used to. the profile process now, like Gary said, it is indeed completely separate from what you do in Installation Manager now. So it's something new to get used to.
Okay. Yes, thanks for the question.
And we have one more additional question from Sandy Mokate. Your line is open.
Yeah. Hi, this is Sandy again. The question I have is, we currently have a WebSphere 7.0 version with several six packs on it, and our process of installation is pretty much custom, you know, automated with update installers, Perl scripts, bunch of Perl scripts. Then after that, we customize the profile using Jitans and other scripting modes. So the point is, after adjusting this process of between update installer and installer manager, will my old set of scripts to customize the profile and things like that, will they work, or they also would be changed?
Hi, this is Preston. So basically, you're asking about the Jython scripts that you have to basically configure after installation, if those are going to work in version 8. Bishop, if you want to answer that one.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, basically, you're plainly talking about the Jython scripts that you were running once the profile is created for customization and all. They pretty much should work.
For example, creating security, global security, all that thing is actually runs from install process, right? We lay out the binaries, then we create custom profiles, then, you know, it all happens in one process. But underneath, there are a bunch of scripts, which is Jython.
Those Jython scripts will work fine as long as they are with the security definition or JDBC sources or cluster creation or whatever you're doing. They should work fine from V7 to V8. The only thing that will change is the upper part of your scripts, where now you have to define the installation. Now you don't have to use update installer. You can use installation manager directly to install to whatever desired fixed pack you want, and then call manage profile to create profiles, and then just call your scripts to do the customization that you're doing.
Okay. Yeah, because I heard someone saying that there is a different process of profiling between 7 to 8, and so...
What we meant there was that in V7 and V6.1, when you did the initial install, you could specify in the response file that you want to create a profile or not.
Right.
Versus in V8, we separated this process, which is good, and like we said, based on the feature request that we got, that you do the install of the binaries, and then... The second step is when you create a profile from command line.
Yes.
Now, coming on your scripts, I mean, majority of the things should work from V7 to V8, but we still suggest you that you test the scripts to see if the, you know, some, it's a WSAdmin, it's totally a separate topic, but in case something is backported or some new functionality is added. So just test it, and ideally it should work.
Okay, thanks.
We have a question from Kanan Suvakdar. Your line is open.
Yeah, have existing JVM is converted to new cluster. Is this possible?
I'm sorry, you're wondering about a JVM being converted to a cluster. Is that what you asked?
No, the question here is there a way that we can add the existing JVM to the a new cluster group?
Oh, adding a JVM to a new cluster group, that would be part of the post-installation configuration. We're going to have to ask that you open a PMR to that answer resolve for yourself.
No, actually, we already released a PMR regarding this, but they said that there is no possibility on version 6 because we have a VAS MD and a VAS base version, so we are planning to federate a base into network deployment group. So for that, we have created a new cluster group, and we have added the base version as a cluster number 1, and then we have added the MD application server as a cluster number 2. So my question here is there a possibility that I can first add the MD cluster member as a first cluster member and the base version as a second cluster member?
Gary, you wanted to add some more to that?
Yeah, I'll add. So I'm working that PMR. It's the same question that's in the PMR. I will speak with Preston about that and get back with you. But the issue is still the same. You cannot add an existing JVM to an already existing cluster. So once the cluster is created, you have to use add cluster member to do that. But that's kind of outside the scope of this installed discussion, and we'll, you know, we can talk about that offline, or I'll discuss with Preston.
Okay. We have one more question. Is there a possibility to migrate a profile from one cluster group to the another cluster group?
I'm sorry. Your question was to migrate a cluster to another cluster group. Can you explain your question again?
See, we have two cluster members, and we have two clusters which is running in two different physical machines. If I want to migrate any particular cluster member from one physical server to the another physical server, is there any way or any options that we can try?
This is Rish again. So basically what we're talking today here is about install, update, and migration. So definitely using the migration utilities, that is not possible. Migration utilities are for moving between, you know, one version to another version. Now, as far as you're talking about if a JVM is a part of cluster, you want to move it from that node and move it to another cell under a different deployment manager, I mean, there are several extensive steps involved. Basically, there's no direct tool that can do it for you. You have to remove node and restore and all. So I think if you already have a PMR, you can take it in that or open a new PMR, because that's strictly based on system management and configuration. And without understanding the complete scenario, we cannot give the steps here. But the migration utilities that we have, they are only for migration between one version to another version. They cannot be used between the same version.
Okay. Thank you.
Our next question is from Louis Gonzalez. Your line is open.
Hi. My question is, when you're installing the WebSphere plugin, I've noticed the default location is set to WebSphere plugin. In a previous version, the plugin used to be installed within the web server. Is there a reason why this is done, and can it be changed to be installed under the HTTP server directory like it was on the previous version?
Okay, so your question's on installing the IHS plugin. Michael, I think you can answer that one for him.
I believe, you know, Louis, we're going to have to take that offline, but I believe that just doing the install of the product itself, it does give you the ability of changing that location within the panels that you'll see. But let me see. Vish, do you have anything specific on that?
That's one of the things that I discovered, that when I went through the installation, it doesn't give me an option to change the path where the plugin's installed. You are forced to install it on the WebSphere plugins directory.
You're talking about, Louis, this is Vishav. Thanks for the question. You're talking about V8 installation of plugin?
That's correct.
Now, if you use Installation Manager, and if you, let's say you're trying to install two products, just make sure that you scroll down to see that all the products will give you a path offering. And I actually have done installation of plugin, IHS, and all the components to different directories.
Is that document any place?
We can take it offline. You can give me your email ID on the common chat, and I can ping you, and we can take it offline.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you.
I can add to that a little just before we wrap up this question. It's one of those things that as you are moving through the graphical interface, at the point where it asks you to choose the directory for one product, you can set the directory there. And then I guess it's not always immediately apparent, but you can choose different products to set the properties for on that same panel. So when it asks you what directory you want, you set all the different products on that same panel and before you actually press the next button.
Okay, I'll try it.
All righty.
Thank you.
Sure thing.
Thank you again, everyone, for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this point in time, I would like to move on to slide number 23 and pass the presentation over to Preston for a summary of today's webcast.
Thank you, Joseph. This was a very good session that we've had here. We had quite a bit of discussion among all the members that have joined. We basically went over quite a few things in the installation world. We went over the new installation manager in version 8, the capability there. We went over the augmentation, the repositories in the installation manager. We talked about how we can silently install in version 8 compared to how we used to do things in version 7 and previously. We spoke about ways to remote install. We spoke about the options of migration, how to include your apps in that migration. We spoke about permissions in the installation. We spoke about the IMCL commands, talked about recording response files, and also spoke about how profiles are created. And I believe that's most of the things that we discussed here. We got to talk about quite a bit, and I hope that it was useful for everyone. I hope everyone was able to get what they wanted out of this session today, and we'll definitely be doing more of this and trying to give things back to what everyone really would like. So please feel free to go to the website here and provide feedback and request further sessions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Preston, for a great summary. At this point in time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session.